It's a great honor and privilege to minister to you God's Word this morning. And in behalf of our dear Pastor Mike Kokoris, this place looks familiar. It's because our congregation, Valley Baptist Church, have been sharing property before with the Lindley Church, and we've been in this place for about 22 or 23 years. So after the Lindley Church, they have their service, and then we will have our afternoon service. And then until that time that we have joined together with the Lindley Church, and what a blessing indeed it is. I love Pastor Mike and Patricia, so indebted to them for all their love, prayers, support they've given me and my family, and also our VBC church family. And especially during those hard, difficult moments of my wife's passing 4 years ago. And also I love my Lindley Church family. So thankful for you. Thank you for your love and support and prayers. What a blessing indeed. I told Pastor Mike one time, you know why I always sit beside you, right? At the front seat. And then he said, why? So I can catch you when you are out of balance. Because one time he almost lost his balance, and you know that he got his surgery, and really that is the very purpose right there. I decided to be there for my pastor, my preacher, my friend, Michael Kokoris, because of that incident that happened in his life. And so the other reason, so I will not be distracted with the many beautiful women of Lindley Church. There's this senior citizen, senior couple, and so concerned that they're losing their memory. Just can't recall things like your speaker here. So they go to see a neurologist, and he examines them and said, oh, well, for 80 years old, you're pretty good. But don't worry, you're not heading on a cliff, you're fine, the doctor said. Just be careful, just pay attention. That's what he advised the couples, and write things down. That's what I encourage people to do. And later that night, as they were watching television, this couple, he says to her, I'm going to the kitchen and get some ice cream. Would you like some? And she said, oh, I'd love some. I love ice cream. Don't forget, you get in there and forget me. So why don't you write down it, honey, ice cream? And he said, it's all right, don't need to write that down. Ice cream, I got it here. But I like some strawberries and whipped cream as well. Honey, it's getting complicated now. Why don't you write it down? She said, no, honey, I got it here. I'm going to get us both some ice cream, strawberries, and with the whipped cream. But I want some nuts also in there. Okay, I got it right here. You will forget, write it down. No, I got it, honey, with nuts. So ice cream, strawberries, whipped cream, and then nuts. Well, sure enough, he's in the kitchen for about 45 minutes. And finally, when he stepped out, he's carrying a plate and a sausage and eggs. He carries it over to her. She looks at the plate and looks up at him and says, I knew it. I knew it, you will forget. You forgot the toast? Oh, Happy New Year. Others, you will get that tomorrow. Okay. I'd like to take us in this beautiful Psalm of David. I remember that a few years after our church family has to decide that we will close down and join with a little church, that I preached this. I remember Carmel, my wife, told me, that's a big help. That's an encouragement, she told me. And then, little did I know, after a year, she will be with the Lord. And I stand here before you as the first Sunday of the new year. I hope this psalm will minister to you just like how it ministered to me. Psalm 131. It's just three verses. But this psalm is packed. Psalm 131. Let us pray first. Lord, we ask for your blessings that this Sunday that we'll be able to learn and get some insights from this beautiful psalm of David and how it describes so clearly a life that trusts in the Lord. That when we trust in God, in the Lord, and how David, he declared it clearly. And it's a picture of a true blessed life when we are trusting, putting our trust in you. Minister to us, for this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a wind child with his mother. Like a wind child is my soul within me. And then he said, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Psalm 131 is an ascent psalm written by David. Ascent psalms are from chapter 120 to 134 and chapter 84 were songs sung by pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem to the annual feast celebrating the Passover and Pentecost and Feast of the Tabernacles and how it describes clearly this small psalm with three verses, how David he trusted the Lord his God. And this psalm is just a beautiful psalm to take heart. It's like a gardener cuts away what merely looks good for the sake of a healthy plant. And this psalm, it prunes readers to their roots in God. And the two things to be pruned are unruly ambition and infantile dependency, as one commentator said. Constable, in his commentary, said, in just a few words, David spoke of his humble trust in the Lord and his hope in him. These are remarkable statements for a powerful king to have written. And this is an individual psalm of confidence or trust that became a psalm of ascent. Another commentator said about this beautiful psalm, I'm just describing a little bit and some important introduction from sources about this psalm. And he said, this psalm, modest and reserved in character, is one of the great gems of this altar. Because it's very unpretentiousness, it may easily be overlooked, yet it throws light upon one of the cardinal Christian virtues which is always intimately linked with trust, the virtue of humility, and it's mentioned all over in the New Testament concerning its principles. Spurgeon said, it, or this psalm, is one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. And just three verses is so good to memorize, and it's so good to claim. When you're losing your hope, when you need an encouragement, this psalm could be of help. And we see it in the superscription. It's just a song of ascent of David. And here, there are three things in these three verses that I would like to take us to show a beautiful picture of a life that trusts in the Lord. When you trust the Lord. And we can see here how David expresses his humility before the Lord. Verse 1. He describes a simple but secure faith in the Lord by comparing himself to a weaned child. And he encouraged the people to hope in the Lord forevermore. Those are the three outlines. Maybe you can pray just like Mike said and then go home. But let me just break it down. If you want to follow this outline in verse 1. And here we can see in verse number 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor things too profound for me. David expresses his humility in verse 1. Before the Lord here. And I believe the principle that we can learn here that the Word of God is teaching us is that when one's life is so trusting in God, you will always spot humility in that life. When you are so trusting in the Lord, you will seek humility in your life. You will not seek pride to be present in your life. As the things of the world drew ever close to his grip or grip of in the life of David, but David would humble his heart before the Lord. Notice, let me just take you that God had chosen him, David, to be king of Israel. And when he eventually ascended the throne, think about the immense wealth, unlimited pleasures, and absolute power would be at his fingertips. And with all of this in view, the man after God's own heart examined his heart and deliberately tells the Lord, he was not prideful. My heart, Lord, is not haughty. And gives three indications and three great denials about this. Lord, I am trusting you. And that's why we can see clearly in verse 1 that, Lord, I am not proud. Lord, I'm not haughty. And I don't concern myself with great matters. Three indications and great denials that David showing, describing himself, I choose to have an humble heart. The first one is a prideful heart. My heart is not haughty. So a trusting life, a life that trusts the Lord, will not allow pride to continue to dominate his life. And you can see here, verse 1 and 2 are a prayer. And David was speaking to the Lord, and he would honestly say that there was no rebellion in his heart toward God. His heart was in full submission to him. And notice that David mentions his heart. Heart. He mentions his heart first because the root source of pride is down deep within. Jesus said that, out of the heart. David says that as deeply as God may wish to prove me, he will not find a trace of a high exalted attitude within me. And the next thing, look at the next description. He said, a denial. He said, no, I'm not choosing to have a proud heart. And then, nor my eyes lofty. Isn't it that one who is proud within shows it in his eyes? Under the influence of pride, we become arrogant. And what's the end? We look down on other people. And did you know God, by the way, pride in the Bible, pride is the reason why Satan fall down to heaven. And did you know that God has a hate list? Do you have a playlist? I have a playlist. Songs that I love. But God, He has a hate list. Oh wow. Oh yes. He has a hate list. And it's in Proverbs chapter number 6. Let's turn to this hate list of God. Oh, if you want a blessed life in 2024, you don't want to be this things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's open our Bibles. Yeah, come on. If you have it with you, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse, this is the hate list, 6 verse number 16. It says, right? Say it again?
6:16,
yes. Okay. These 6 things that the Lord hates. Right? The Lord hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to Him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord or create division among the brethren. Listen, you know, we don't want these things that God hates to be present in our life, to be present in our family. Because pride is the essence of all sin, and every act of disobedience to God is an act of elevating ourselves over Him. Pride, it has us looking down on people. It has us looking down on things. It has us looking down on God. And you know what pride is? Pride is an overestimation of oneself by reason of self-love. Overestimation of oneself by reason of self-love. Pride puts us in competition with God and puts us in competition with our neighbor. It puts us at variance with the very heart of God's love, which is loving Him and loving our neighbor. And a child of God will have been called to be a salt and a light in this world, to reflect a world out there. And we should not choose this in our life. One preacher said, and I like his point, and he pointed out, and I quote, the proud person, he looks, he compares, he competes, and therefore is never content. Isn't it the society that we live in right now? He looks, he compares, he competes, and therefore never content. And whenever pride is present, unity will be absent. Hello? If there's division in your life, if there's adversity in your life, if there is disunity in your relationship with those precious relationships that God gave you, even in a church relationship, pride divides. Yes. Amen. You see, a person looks, compares, competes, as the author said, and therefore is never content, and he plans and schemes in his heart as to how he can outdo and outperform. That's what pride does. And think about that the proud person, the arrogant person, the person that demands more, the person that goes about thinking they deserve better, is in competition with God, is in competition with others, and therefore they're like the troubled sea. They're never settled, they're never happy, and they're never at peace. You know what? Peace will be so, will not be present when pride is present. Peace will be absent whenever pride is present in our life. Amen? That's why God has given us a medicine cabinet. Hello? I don't know about you. This word of God, whatever I pray, my time with God always fix me. Always fix me. Always take me with and with this sin of pride in my life. The thinking I'm better. Thinking I'm so good than other people. That's why every Sunday, what a blessing that we have, that when you come to the Lord's house and hear the preaching of God's Word. Think about the series that we went in Samuel, in 1 Kings. Think about all those principles. And I tell you, I was telling Pastor Mikey, did you know what? I benefited so much on those messages, on those leadership of David and Solomon, and how I can be able to be good and in my job and in my business. Think about the business world out there. They're actually applying the principles of the Bible and they didn't know that they work. Amen. And they are the one that really works. Oh, my dear brother and sister, you cannot afford this year, 2024, not to spend time in the Holy Scriptures and spend time with God. You heard our preacher who said, okay, go to the Bible this year, at least 3 chapters every day, 5 days, and then make it up 5 top chapters every day during the weekend, and you'll finish the entire Bible. Isn't it when you're a child of God, it convicts you when you see, when you hear that, okay, I have not spent as much time with God. Amen? And that's why you and I, we've got to deal with pride. We've got to submit ourselves to God's providence. We've got to accept who He made us. We've got to accept what He's given us. And we've got to accept where He's placed us, at least for now, until that changes. That changes that. You see, when we allow pride in our life, you even question God, why are you allowing this to me? Amen? I don't deserve this. Why is this happening to me? And all of that. But David said, I don't want that in my life. Lord, my heart is not haughty. Mine eyes are not lofty. What a beautiful picture of a life. And then the third indication he confessed is the need to implicitly trust God with those things he cannot understand and those things that God does not explain. Look at the last verse 1. Neither do I concern myself with great matters. Look at how this man, he described, I choose humility in my life, and that's why he said, neither do I concern myself with great matters nor things that are too profound or high for me. I like what PMC says here. PMC is Pastor Mike Kokoris. Okay. And you know our beloved preacher, amen. Okay. He has the ability to make complicated simple. That's why I need him, or else the simple I'll make it complicated to you. Okay, and here's what he says. I love what he says here on this. It is a comment here. He said, he does not concern, what David is saying here, he said, he does not concern himself with great matters, meaning he does not take on projects that are beyond his ability. He does not concern himself with things that are too profound for him. He recognized that there were some things beyond his ability to explain. They were too profound. And then he said, there are mysteries in life that defy explanation. Right. Hello? Yeah. There are mysteries in life that defy explanation, such as why a young person dies in an accident. And David, I like what Mike said here, and David, he said, verse that. I love it. Okay, amen. Okay. He was willing to say, we have heard our preacher say this. And then he said, and David said he was willing to say, I don't know. Did you know a proud person is so hard to utter those words? Come on now. I don't know. You see, it's really the heart. It's really the heart. I was thinking, meditating about this. Why would David can have this such result? Okay, that's going to be in my point too. I'm sorry. Okay, it's really not. Proud people have an attitude of superiority. They think they know everything and can do just about anything. But humble people have a realistic view of themselves and they recognize their limitations. I don't know. Essentially, David is saying, there's a lot that I don't know. That's what David's saying. There's a lot. Look at how his description about, I don't choose to be proud and pride take over in my life. And David is actually saying here, there's a lot that I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the facts. I don't understand everything. And I'm okay with that. By the way, how often do you hear a king, a president, a political or spiritual leader says, I don't know. But evidently David was comfortable with this kind of language. I will not try to figure out everything in my life. Some things are beyond my comprehension. And I'm not going to act like I know it all. And David was making a profound statement here. He was saying, I can't know it all. And furthermore, I can't handle it all. That's the significance that he's showing. I can know it all, and furthermore, I can handle it all. One commentator, I like what he said here. He said, there are some problems in life that defy explanation. Mysteries too deep to fathom. Strange circumstances that puzzle the keenest intellect. Who, for example, can say that the last word on the problem of human suffering? Who can answer all the questions that surface in the area of unanswered prayer? Who can reconcile God's sovereign election and man's free will? And David didn't possess to know all the answers. His heart was not lifted up like that of an insufferable know-it-all. His eyes were not raised too high as if he were the finished intellectual egotist, this commentator said, and he recognized his limitations and was not ashamed to say, I don't know. I don't know. And that's why to us, believers in Jesus Christ, who put their trust in Him, how our future is secure when Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Amen? We don't fear about this year, 2024, who will be in the White House. Okay? Amen? Because we know when we put our trust in the Lord, just like the confidence David did. You know why David can be so confident like this? Can have this such result? It's because he had proven the faithfulness of God in his life. Hello? And some of you, if you would look back and how God had put you in such crisis, could be a loss, could be a such pain, it could be such suffering. And looking back now, you've seen the grace of God and truly He is faithful. And He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And truly, He is with us during those times of crisis. He never fails. Amen? Aren't you glad we serve a living God who never fails? I will never leave the world. I have proven that in the difficult moments and situation that I have been. I have proven how the Lord, He took care of me. He took care of us, me and my children. And He will take care of you. You just need to trust Him. Okay, we're not done yet, just like what Mike said. Amen. Where are we now? By the way, this trust in the wisdom, love, and power of God, it brought peace and quietness to his soul. This attitude of trust in the wisdom, love, and power of God, it will make you like David, as he described in the Psalm. That's why I'm like this kind of child, and that will be our second point. So David's submission to God empowered him to extinguish his selfish ambition. He could truly say to God that he had no desire to do anything beyond what God wanted him to do, neither did he want to be anything other than what God wanted him to be. What a beautiful picture of a life who's submitted. This humility of David, who perfectly picture this kind of humility of absolute dependence to God? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul, the apostle, said about Jesus to the church in Philippi, he said, "Let this mind be in you," Philippians chapter number 2, "which was also in Christ Jesus," he said, "who being in the form of God, he thought not to be robbery, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. Choose humility in your life. Choose submission and wait on God on your situation right now. You know what? It's worthy. Let me go to the second one, or else we'll finish. Look at verse number 2. And here the second one is that, and here David, when and it's showing us this beautiful psalm, it's showing us that when a life is so trusting in the Lord, I don't know if that grammar is right, but you will pardon me that, when a life, you're full of trust in the Lord, and You will affirm your dependence on God. You will be like a wind child resting at the bosom of your mother. And David is describing simple and secure faith in the Lord. David is saying, my life is just fully dependent on the Lord. And then, okay, that's why he illustrated to a wind child. By the way, what is a wind? But let's go on verse number 2. "Surely I have calmed or behaved and quieted my soul like a wind child with his mother," David said. "Like a wind child is my soul within me." Twice the wind child was mentioned here in this verse. He compared himself as a wind child. And I believe I need to chase the rabbit here, the small rabbit here, like my cockroaches. Amen? Okay, and a wind child is one who is no longer straining for sustenance. Right? And now, you know what I'm talking about, the wind child? Mothers, you know that, right? These children sit calmly and quietly in their mother's lap and trusting her for all things. That's what a wind child is. And one Bible commentator said Hebrew children were often not weaned till they are 3 years old. And what David is saying here, he's like a child who, after being restless, is now relaxed in his mother's arms. It is a picture of contentment that comes from trust. And trust replaces tension. And trust has produced peace and command. I'm like a child that's just so secure and so full and so trustful. Like I said, okay, I'm just so dependent in the Lord. I'm just so, and I'm so at peace. The ability to rest and be quiet rather than struggling for what we want is a sign of maturity as well as humility. And David had stopped being self-assertive and restless rather than constantly seeking self-gratification. He now rested He now rested in his lot. And so beautiful here that he accepted his place where God had placed him. He accepted his limit. He accepted his losses. And that's a beautiful picture of a life that truly trusts God. Contentment and calm marks the life of a person who has lived and learned to accept the give and take of God's providence. Let me say that again. Contentment and calmness, it marks the life of the person who has lived and learned to accept the give and take of God's providence. And I think that's at the heart of this picture of the wind child here. That it's the picture of, like Job said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Have you seen people like that? Have you seen people like that? And in spite of adversities that have come in their life, that they have this contentment and calmness in life. And many times you will find them like David, because they trust in the Lord. Can you handle that when He winds you of certain things? When He takes from you what you think you can live without? Can you handle that? And maybe you came here today and you're just bitter. And maybe 2024 is not so bright for you to look, because there's something as if you want God to answer, but God still has not given it to you. Maybe that's the situation now. And sometimes when God wins us off stuff, it's because He has something better for us in mind. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Remember David, when he was anointed to be king because Saul was rejected? Remember it took him 10 years before he was really actually able to sit on the throne? And why is it? Maybe David said, Lord, did you forget about me? You said I will be king, and 10 years now I'm in the cave. And I'm being hunted. I become a Saul's nemesis and hunting him like a dog. And I remember that. Remember that, Lord, and I too, I said those words. Lord, you said you will take care of me. You will take care of us. Why? When I've been struggling in life, when we've been struggling in our family. But little that we know that God is actually doing something in your life. God is still working during those times of the waiting period.
Yes, yes.
By the way, those 10 years period before God had put him on the throne, the most beautiful psalms or songs were born during those darkest moments in David's life. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
And maybe that's what He's doing in your life right now. So wait on God. He would be given the kingdom in God's way and in God's time. And that's why when He was ready, and David became the great king of Israel. There is a sign in a small general store in a small town, and it says, if we don't have it, you're better off without it. How would you go to a store and you say, if we don't have it, you're better off without it? Well, that would be good. And you know what? Sometimes that's what God is saying. If I don't give it to you right now, you're better off without it. So don't be bitter in God. Choose to have a humble heart. Choose to have a trusting heart. Choose to be like a wind child. Lord, I'm so dependent on you, because you are my sufficiency and you are my security. Two things that men are striding about in this life: sufficiency and security. Where can you find that? Stock market promises sufficiency and security. This world we're living in, okay, and telling us, okay, advertising sufficiency. Where can you get that and find that? And David said, I'm like a weaned child. And I proved sufficiency and security in God, my Lord. And you know what he said one time, one place in Psalms? He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Come on, amen? Is He good to you in your life? Oh, you can barely smile and say amen because you saw that sign. If we don't have it, you're better off without it. Because you're just striving against God. By the way, David, in verse number 3, I believe he's reiterating the first verse of Psalm 23. What's the first verse of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. It's all I need. You and I have found in God a sufficiency and security. That's why true riches is in the Lord. What you have in the Lord Jesus, what you have in God, what you have in the Lord is more important than what you do not have in this life. If you just learn to see, if you just really experience the goodness, the faithfulness, the wisdom, the majesty, the glory, the magnificence of God, you know the true riches is only in God. It's only in the Lord. I said this a while ago, I'll chase this rabbit. I was trying to, like my preacher, so blame him if you going overtime. Man, I said a while ago I was thinking while in bed and then to prepare Lord, and then why would David have this such resolve like a wee child? Can I just got this notes and I just wrote it? Okay, I did, because I actually typed my outline and then got this, but I just want to share this. Why he has this such resolve to be like a wee child? Like a weaned child, to sit calmly and quietly in his mother's lap, trusting her for all things. You know what's the difference? Why David can say this, I'm like a weaned child. You know what's the point is? It's the heart. It's the heart. It's his heart. He chooses to have a heart who believes, who have faith in God, who trusts in the Lord. It's the heart. My brother, heart. Guard your heart, and we have heard our preacher say that many times. By the way, Jesus, he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, describing the beautiful attitudes that every follower of Christ should possess. Blessed are the what? Pure in heart. Come on, help me. 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they what? They shall see God. Please follow me with this. They, the pure heart. That's why when you have a heart problem, when you have a proud heart, I tell you, it's very impossible to see the workings of God. It's so impossible. It's very possible to see and so blinded, thinking that they are wise, they became fools. It's so possible to be blinded to see, there's God. It's really the heart. It's really the heart. Pure heart is an undivided heart. One that is singularly devoted to God in thoughts, feelings, and actions. So to love God with a pure heart, there is nothing competing with Him for His devotion in your life. So Jesus said, those who are pure in heart will see God. What He was saying, that those with impure hearts will see only sin and corruption. But the pure in heart will see the hand of God working in their hearts. It's the heart. You know what's the one of the biggest sin in the Bible? It's the unpardonable sin. You know what's the unpardonable and biggest sin in the Bible? Unbelief. Unbelief. I tell you, a man will be damned in eternal hell. That's because in his heart, he didn't choose to believe what God says. Amen? That's why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Blessed, okay, those who are teachable. Blessed, their hearts are open, they are submissive. And there are things that they cannot explain, but they will believe. Isn't it Jesus many times said that? Blessed are those who didn't see, but they believe. He mentioned it because the difference is the heart. And my friend, I hope I have said it. Let's trust Him. Let's believe again. And by the way, there are two references that I would like to give you in Isaiah that correlates to our second verse. And then just give me a few minutes and then we'll close. Look at Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30 verse number 15. And Isaiah here gives us this important principle to remember, like the principle of the wind child or the example of the wind child that David is saying. And two verses in the book of Isaiah show this, reminded to us this exact a verse in verse 2 that we are studying. Look at Isaiah 30 verse 15. And here the prophet Isaiah said exactly to that to Israel hundreds of years later after David, he quoted this psalm or made this psalm. Only in returning to me and what? Are you there? Isaiah 30 verse 15. Only in returning to me and resting in me. Is that Isaiah 30 verse 15? Yeah, I'm just trying to cut the verse. But he said only. Look at the last part of the verse. Only in returning to me and resting in me. Look at those returning to me and resting in me, you be saved. And then, in confidence and what? In quietness and confidence is your. I think I wrote this in the King James. That's why. Okay. In quietness and confidence. That word confidence, in quietness, like the wind chime, and then in confidence, it's like trust, dependent. Lord, I believe you. I trust in you. That's going to be your strength. That's going to be. You know what? When the crisis came into my life, such losses that happened to me, I'm glad I put my trust in the Lord and not in something else. I'm glad I have continued to depend on God. Think about other people. They will go to other avenues than God. They think their doctor and his prescription will fix them. But what happened? They messed them up. Amen? What happened? And human, I'm not saying all human advice and invention is spat, but I tell you, there is a wisdom far greater and better, and that's God. A last verse, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. I want you to go, if you can go to Isaiah chapter 66, and in verse number 2. Just want to share these two verses to you. Isaiah chapter 66. I love this verse. By the way, do you want heaven to smile down on you? Do you want heaven smile? What God is pleased about? What God is? You get heaven's attention. I don't know about you, but I always want heaven's attention. Amen. I always get, Lord, I need your favor. Lord, I need your. I don't know about you. I want God's favor and attention in my life. I want to continue to living a life that is so dependent and getting His attention. And if you truly want heaven's attention in your life, my beloved, here's what God said. Look at Isaiah 66. This is the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. In chapter 66, He says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? All of those things my hands has made. I mean, God is actually God is actually just loving at them. Okay, there's nothing that you can impress me about and build me and show to me. I said, okay, all of that belongs to me. I'm just paraphrasing it. And then, all those things exist, says the Lord. And then, but look at this next verse, the last part of verse number 2. But, read it with me together, church, ready? But on this one will I look. By the way, is that in your Bible? Underline it. But on this one will I look, God said. On him who is what? On him who is what? What's that word poor there? Not in material stuff. That's talking about humility. It's talking about David's humility. Hundreds of years after David wrote that, okay, so I'm not proud. But to this one, this is what will attract heaven. This is what will attract God. Humility. Only him who is poor and a contrite spirit. Did you get that verse? Contrite spirit. Meaning submissive spirit. And who trembles at my word. And who trembles at my word. And the one who trembles at my word refers to those who are faithful. They obey God's word, finding great joy and comfort in it. Oh. And then lastly, this is the final one. And okay, look at the last verse, okay, of this beautiful psalm. And then, and how David expresses humility before the Lord in verse 1. He describes his simple but secure faith like a wind child in the Lord in verse 2. And he encourages the people to hope in the Lord forever. He said, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Having experienced that trusting in the Lord's will do, and David calls upon Israel to trust the Lord now and forever, and he exhorts them to follow his example. He called on the nation to follow his example and rest in confidence that the Lord would provide what his people needed. This dependent trust is a need for us, God's people, in this time, and it will never outgrow. And what's the lesson we can learn from this psalm? And this is what I would like you to please to just grasp and think about this psalm. That when you trust the Lord with a humble heart, you experience contentment and a desire to tell others to do the same. So things that happen into my life, and I've seen the goodness, the faithfulness, the wisdom of God. When somebody asks me, how are you? I tell you, it's a time to give the testimony of my faith, my trust, my dependence in God. I tell them to hope in the Lord forever. He's truly faithful. He's truly wise. He's truly good. And he knows what he's doing. And one of the great lesson here is that we do not know everything. We do not know everything. Some things are beyond our ability to explain. And there are realities of life that defy explanation. That's why Moses said, and Pastor Mike used this verse, Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 29:29, what did Moses, he said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. How insightful. Moses, the secret things that defies explanation, they belong to God. And just trust Him. Therefore, with a humble heart, we trust the Lord, we rest in Him. And the psalmist goes on to say that produces contentment and a desire to encourage others to do the same. But the bottom line here is that with a humble heart, trust the Lord. That's the bottom line. With a humble heart, so when that heart starts to get bad, you know, it's not trusting more in God. There's a veteran, I will close. There's a veteran missionary trying to encourage a young preacher. And this veteran missionary, about to retire, serve the Lord in the mission field. And then he wrote to this preacher and said, "When you have committed your life to the Lord, I found the only poem you will ever need." And it's a poem, he said, written by Frank Hardaway, a former ABWE missionary, Abue. And in the poem, very, very few, you can just write it down and just remember this too. He said in the poem, "God is, I'm His, He's mine, all is fine." God is, this messenger said, "I'm His, He's mine, all is fine." In the words of Peter, 1 Peter 5:6-7, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, and casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful section of Your Word, section that has endeared itself to thousands upon thousands, brought comfort to the saints and the martyrs, brought hope to those in trials, brought light to those that sit in darkness and under the shadow of death. And we thank You for the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, in this psalm, and he encourages us to imagine the picture of a weaned child, how we can enjoy peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, help us not to think too highly of ourselves. Help us to realize that in this world, dark and shadowy and dreary, there are things we will not understand. We will not always get our head around the purpose of suffering and why evil men is allowed to prosper, and why the Church of Jesus Christ suffers and persecuted, mocked for our belief. We don't know all and understand what You're doing, but we do understand You. And we trust what we know about You, and when we can't understand You. Lord, help us not to put up such a big fight, but to accept our losses and our crosses, to be like a weaned child, to allow You to get us to a better place. Help us to learn contentment in the process. Thank You, Lord, for this time that we have celebrated, remembering You for Your great love to us, Your sacrifice. Keep us faithful until the end. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.